Good morning, TNC family. On this final Sunday in March, 21 days before Easter, we're here for the next 3 weeks. I want to do something a little different, which is a mini-series. And what I mean by that is for 3 weeks, these podcasts will be more like 10 or 12 minutes, short and brief. And they will be reflections from the final words of Jesus spoken while hanging on the cross. Jesus spoke 7 phrases from the cross, but during these 3 weeks, we'll look at just 3, one each week, words that I hope and pray and believe can prepare our hearts and minds for this upcoming Easter Sunday. Today, we'll think about Jesus' phrase, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Next week, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." And then finally, "It is finished." And I want to set all of it up with this. In John's biography of Jesus, Jesus has been arrested and brought before Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. And in chapter 18 and verse 37, we find Jesus and Pilate in conversation. "So," said Pilate, "you are a king, are you?" Jesus replies, "You're the one who's calling me a king." And then Jesus goes on, "The reason I was born and came into the world is to give evidence about the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And then in what I imagine to be a skeptical tone, Pilate replies, "What is truth?" And Jesus says nothing in response. I think because John wants Pilate's question to be left hanging, an open question for the reader that will be answered, just not here, not to Pilate, but rather through the final hours of Jesus' life, and then through his death and resurrection, meaning Jesus will answer, but he will answer from and through the cross. What is truth? A question that was not only a great question then, it remains a huge question today because the need for truth is one of humanity's most desperate needs, even though in some ways it is harder to find today amid the flood of conflicting voices. What is truth? How do I live rightly aligned with the ways of peace and order and goodness and joy? What is truth? Which leads us to the cross, TNC, because I believe Jesus demonstrates the fundamental truths of our existence from the cross, including in the 7 words that Jesus speaks from the cross between the moment he is nailed there and when he takes his final breath. And as I said, we are just going to consider 3 phrases that he says in the next 3 weeks, but I believe they are among what lies at the absolute heart of what is true in our universe. Not just true about the universe, but also true about living well in a way God has designed our world, living well in God's kingdom, to use that biblical phrase. And what's awesome about these truths is that they're not theologies to believe, but rather actions to employ. I mean, you can actually put them into practice and find them to be true and find light, freedom, and hope amid a world of darkness, slavery, and discouragement. In the first phrase, the first truth that Jesus expresses from the cross is recorded in Luke chapter 23, and the setup for it begins in verse 32, quote, "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.' As they divided up his clothes by casting lots and stood there watching, the rulers even sneering, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one.' And the soldiers, too, came up and mocked him." Father, forgive them. Jesus' first remark from the cross, fitting because Jesus' entire life leading up to the cross, as he performs miracles, cures the sick, exorcises demons, even raises the dead, is soaked with this theme of forgiveness. Jesus says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Forgive 70 times 7. I do not condemn you," he says. "Go, your sins are forgiven." This is why Lewis Smedes, the best-selling author and former professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, writes, when you forgive someone, you are dancing to the rhythm of the divine heartbeat. God invented forgiveness as the only way to keep his romance with the human race alive. I love that. Forgiveness is dancing to the rhythm of the divine heartbeat. It's the way the universe was designed to operate, with people extending forgiveness to one another. Now, for some in our day, forgiveness is not seen as dancing to the rhythm of the divine heartbeat, but rather as a sign of weakness. To them, revenge is the moral obligation. You don't forgive. Come on. You power up. Angry word for angry word. Bomb for bomb. Rifle for rifle. Tweet for tweet. Which turns out is a cycle that tears apart families and communities and places of work. And of course, we see nations and governments fall into this trap of petty yet deadly tit-for-tat actions, all the while ignoring one of the greatest creations of God in the scriptures for human flourishing. Yes, in Genesis 1, you have the creation of beautiful trees, oceans, mountains, and sky. Yes, you see the joy and the activity of animals. Yes, the glorious sun, moon, and stars. Yes, the projects and passions of people and families. But what often gets overlooked is that something else was created in Genesis 3, which is, after humans fall into sin and brokenness, God invents, if you will, introduces forgiveness. And we've talked before at length about what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay what someone did to you. And it's also not something you do only if they admit and confess and apologize. And it's also not always eliminating the consequences or preventing justice. And it's not necessarily forgetting what happened. And it's not necessarily, depending on the relationship, reconciliation. Rather, it is passing along to others what you want to receive yourself and what you have received yourself. Further, it's refusing to allow someone else who robbed you of something in the past to continue to rob you of your present focus and joy. And it's about taking violence and revenge out of circulation. This is part of what happened on the cross that Friday evening 2,000 years ago. Jesus took revenge off the table. Some of you will know that wonderful statement in the Bible from Lamentations chapter 3. God's mercies are new every morning, the writer says. And I'm really glad it doesn't say God's justice is new every morning or God's consequences are fresh every morning. No, it's his mercy, part of the canvas of forgiveness. And so I wonder, as we approach Easter this year, is there any unforgiveness inside of you? Because if there is, then there might be some work needed toward moving toward forgiveness. And again, here today, I'm not talking about reconciliation, even though that is something the Bible talks about. Here, I'm just talking about what's going on inside of you and about replacing ill will toward that other person, characterized by bad thoughts, saying bad things, gossip, passive-aggressive or overtly aggressive actions, replacing that with goodwill, compassion, sympathy, empathy, agape love, a refusal to gossip, wishing them healing and growth. By the way, there's a physical side to forgiveness too. I'm telling you, forgiveness is the way the universe operates the best. This is from the world of science, in which we know that unforgiveness gets inside of our bodies so that when I see that person's name or face or hear their voice, there are neurotransmitters, there are brain chemicals, there's muscle tension, there are thoughts that are automatically inside of me, even if I don't want them there. Unforgiveness really does damage me physically. And so I think Jesus from the cross calls us to live in this more excellent way. What is truth? Pilate asks. Well, it includes the way of forgiveness, one of the most powerful forces in the world. And TNC, we have to be people pursuing that kind of world, the one that Jesus was for. We have to find ways of bringing healing and forgiveness to our communities and families. And so today, at the start of this mini series, I want to just say that even if you think healing and forgiveness is impossible, will you humbly think through and pray through what it would mean to pursue the way of the cross and figure out what it means to take one move toward forgiveness in your actual life? Because I believe that you will find more than you bargained for in a good way, including You'll meet the living, forgiving God there, and you'll experience life the way God has designed it to be lived in the universe, and you'll find yourself waking up, getting up, and walking around the streets of life in the joy and in the power of God's love. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.